What's up, Beardos? You're listening to episode 187 of The Bearded Vegans.
Basically, our whole philosophy boils down to don't be a jerk.
Don't let me answer your question first. I'm not answering your question. I really hope people didn't tune in to hear us talk about beer.
Welcome to the show. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, you can find all of our previous episodes at thebeardedvegans.com, and you can reach us by emailing thebeardedvegans@gmail.com.
In today's mini episode, we're going to ask the question, should guests be warned that a wedding is only serving vegan food?
Yes, a very thoughtful email from a listener that I think we're answering just in the nick of time, because this is a very time-sensitive email.
Is it wedding season? Is this something I don't know about? I can't tell if that was a joke, Andy?
I don't know if there is there a wedding season, Paul?
I bet there's a wedding season.
There's got to be a wedding season.
I've been to a lot of Halloween weddings.
Well, before. I can tell you what, Paul. The wedding that we're going to be referring to in this episode is happening at the end of June. So.
Oh, yeah.
So we're just getting this in just under the wire. But I think this will be a fun little mini episode.
Yes. And I imagine the... whether or not the person decided to do the thing that they're asking about has been long decided months ago, I would assume. So sorry about that.
Yeah, but hopefully others will find this conversation helpful.
I hope so. I hope so, Andy. But before we get to that, so it is episode, 187 right now, which means we are three short episodes away from our next mailbag, which will be at 190. Ooh, getting close to that 200.
So close, Paul.
What are we going to do for our 200th episode?
Probably forget that it's episode 200 until the day that we're about to record it. And then we're like, ugh, should have hired those interns to do a clip show for us.
So, but you know what that means. It's a mailbag episode. And it's since we're recording these about a week or sometimes even more in advance, get those mailbag submissions in. Start sending those in now, because you'll probably last week will be the last time we make the announcement, because by the time the next one is out, then we'll have already recorded it. So send those in, thebeardedvegans@gmail.com, or I'm sure we'll make an Instagram post about it, a Facebook post about it. And yeah, if you have any comments or questions that you want us to talk about, send them in.
Is there any size question that we prefer, Paul?
Get those big questions in. Get those small questions in. I think we've been allowing a few medium questions, but we might have to put an end to that.
Well, Paul rules this podcast with an iron fist. He has a word count app going at all times. Whenever an email comes in, if it's a medium-sized word count, just deletes it right away.
I don't even read it.
And also, Paul, mailbag episode means that we have three new winners for our review contest. And basically, to enter this contest, to win some Beard Vegan swag, some buttons and stickers, all that good stuff, you just have to leave us a review on your platform of choice. Currently, iTunes and Stitcher are the ones that we check. If there's one that you can leave a review on that we haven't put on that list, let us know. But we use a random number generator to pick anyone that's left us a review. And no matter when you left us the review, as long as you haven't won yet, you are entered in perpetuity. So be on the lookout for your name, but go ahead, leave us a review. It can't just be a rating, it has to be an actual review so we can see your name, and we will announce your name on the podcast in episode 190.
We'll have to come up with another fun review contest again.
Ooh, Paul, you know what, Paul? We had a secret review contest happen, and maybe we'll read like one of our favorite entries from our little secret review contest. Maybe we'll read that in episode 190.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
And so the last bit of announcement is we got a new bonus episode out on the Patreon. So if you are a Patreon backer, you may have seen it show up in your feed. I don't actually know if you get notifications for these things. Hopefully you do. But we reviewed Lil Dicky's new hit song Earth, which we talked about. It is supposedly a song that's combating climate change. And we talked about... Is it?
Yeah, Paul, I think that this might be the most niche episode that we've ever done on this podcast, but we did talk for a full hour about this music video, sort of really breaking down every possible angle that we could think of. So we talked about what we thought about the quality of the song. This is a song that features Lil Dicky as well as 30 celebrity, singers, A few actors, because Leonardo DiCaprio's in there as mm-hmm. well. Kevin Hart's in there. Mm-hmm. But everyone from like Snoop Dogg to
Justin Bieber
and Psy mm-hmm. and lots of other folks are on that thing. So it's kind of like a spiritual successor to like We Are the World type of thing. And so we kind of also look into the history of those types of songs as well. And so I think even if you've never heard this song, you might get something out of that conversation. But if this is an episode that you think you want to hear, as Paul mentioned, it's up on the Patreon, and you can access that Patreon by going to thebeardedvegans.com/beardo, spelled B-E-A-R-D-O. And there's a couple options there, but follow the one of the Patreon. Any rate you support us at will help us out and get you access to all of the bonus episodes, of which there's, I think, 12, 13, something like that up there. So,
and Andy, while we're talking about the Patreon, we got a few people that we need to thank. We got our new Patreon subscribers, our new Beardo subscribers. So a huge thank you goes out to Lindsay B,
Tariq A,
Colby B,
and Glennis M.
You think Lindsay B and Colby B are related?
You know, it's entirely possible, Paul.
It is. They got that same last name initial.
And also, actually, we have to send a thank you to Amanda O, who set up a recurring monthly pledge on PayPal as well.
Oh, thank you.
So, Paul, we released last week's episode 3 or 4 days early to the public because, as we talked about in the episode, in a little added on disclaimer, you know, the conversation that the episode was talking about, this disruption of Kamala Harris, was moving so fast, and we just felt like it just felt weird to put it out on the normal schedule. So we dropped it early on a Sunday instead of a Wednesday. And if you really liked getting that early access, there's actually a tier on the Patreon that lets you listen to things usually on Sunday, sometimes Saturday as well.
Yeah, we've been doing good about pumping those out early.
Yes.
We promised at least one day early, but we've been doing like 3 or 4 days
early. Whenever it's only one day early, I feel like we're slacking and I feel really bad about it.
We've let everyone down.
So yeah, so if you want to get on that action, you want to help the podcast, you can go to thebeardedvegans.com/beardo.
Also on the Patreon, that's where, in addition to the show notes, on the Patreon is a good place to find the transcriptions of the episodes, if that's something you're looking for. I know we haven't mentioned that in a while, but that's one of the big things that the Patreon money goes towards. So if you are looking for that sort of thing, head over to the Patreon or head over to the show notes on the Commentist.
Yeah, and you do not have to be a contributing member to the Patreon to get access to those transcripts at all,
but correct,
really just love the formatting of that Patreon, Paul. Mm-hmm. Looks so good.
It's quite good.
All right, so this is a mini episode, no food, although I was just in Asheville, so I got to eat at Plant again, and they had this like fried mushroom and cheesy grit dish that was several chef kisses good. So no food, even though I just said about food. No news. We're getting straight into this, and this is almost like a little preview of the mailbag episode, Paul, because we're going to be responding to one listener email. So let's get into it. This email comes to us from Dana V, who writes, "Hey Beardos, I'm getting married at the end of June and we've chosen to have an entirely vegan wedding. My fiance wants to advertise this, but I feel like if people know the food is all vegan in advance, they're going to make some judgments before they even try it. And then there will be the classic, well, these meatballs were good, but they don't taste exactly like meat. I do want people to know that vegan food can be normal and easy and delicious, but I don't want to deal with the drama and complaining and weird judgy comments on my wedding day. We've gone back and forth on this a lot. Do we have to put it on the invitations, on the menus, on the tables at the reception, or not at all? We're having a salad, rolls, pasta, and cupcakes that are all really normal food that just happen to be vegan. What do you guys think?"
Very good read, Andy.
Thank you. Flawless. No editing needed on that one.
So I think we need to attack this from a couple angles, because in my mind, the first thing that comes, well, because there's certainly like the ethical or the animal rightsy way to attack this, like what's going to get people to realize that vegan food is good? What's going to get people to not just put up these walls automatically when they hear the word vegan? But I think also even before that, we should talk about, I don't know what the word for this is, but like the etiquette-ness of it. Like, should people know, you know, it's like you don't want to trick people into eating something that they don't know what that they're eating. And I feel like that's less of the like vegan advocate type thing. Maybe this does go into the ethicality of it, but more so than that, I feel like it's
You're making all sorts of words up right now, Paul.
but more so, I feel like it's just like, is it proper etiquette to be like giving people this thing that they think is, if you know that they think it's one thing and you know that it's something else, like, is that the right thing to do? And so for me, I think it's okay. But here's what I'm going to say, though. Here's what I'm going to say. And this goes into the, I think this goes into the etiquette of it. I think, especially because in this specific instance, because, you know, Andy, at a lot of weddings, or the handful of weddings that I've been to, you know, you get the RSVP and then you check off which dish you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Just from, I'm
just picturing a menu that's like, check off your option. It's like vegan, or vegan.
No, because sometimes it even says like chicken. It even has the exact dish. Mm-hmm. So, but just from this email, I'm kind of getting the feeling that it's everyone's getting the same thing. It says we're having a salad, rolls, pasta, and cupcakes. So it seems like there's only one dish. So for that reason, you don't need to put on like, this is what we're having. What I would say, if I were in the situation where I was only having one dish, I would just say, let us know if you have any food allergies or something like that. Like, let us know if you have any food allergies or specifications or something like that. I think that that covers anything that could possibly go wrong in terms of people being allergic to things, because if someone has some food allergy and you don't tell them what they're going to eat, they're probably going to, or maybe I would guess if I were that person, I would send a message to my friend and be like, hey, just so you know, I am allergic to gluten. Are you going to have gluten-free stuff or something like that? But because besides that, like, I have no problem with not telling people that it's only going to be vegan and then giving them the vegan stuff. Now, I think I have an issue if it was like, oh, these are meatballs, and you were like trying to get them to believe it. So for that reason, I feel like I wouldn't do this same thing if they did have choices and all the choices were vegan and the choices were like meatballs, chicken, lasagna, and they were all the vegan version of those, but you didn't specify that. I think I'd have more of an issue with that than what I believe to be happening here, which is just people don't know what they're going to get, but they're going to come here and get this plate of food and it's vegan and they're going to have to deal with it.
I guess before I go to my thoughts, let me ask you, why do you think it's okay to just give someone whatever?
People expect, because we've been to an all vegan wedding, and it was not advertised, I don't believe, on like the RSVP or anything, what it was going to be. And so it's like, to me, well, I knew it was going to be an all vegan wedding I don't know how the non-vegans felt about this beforehand, before they actually got to the wedding. But if I was not vegan and I got a wedding RSVP that didn't have the food on it, in my mind, I wouldn't worry about it. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to get food.
Yeah.
If I have some allergy, I'll let them know. But I don't think I would really worry about it, versus like tricking people into thinking that they're going to get something that they don't get. And even if at the actual wedding, at some point you reveal to it that it is vegan, it just feels weird to me to like trick people into thinking that they're getting something they're not that they don't expect.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, okay. So here's my blanket statement, which is your wedding day is your wedding day, and it's just about you and your partner or partners and what you want to happen. So you should really do whatever you feel is okay, what you feel is like right in your heart. And so for that reason, we recently touched on something about this, Paul. I forget what it was, but it was essentially like basically going by like the etiquette rules of society. I think it was someone's like birthday party, right? They're like, can I go somewhere that's all vegan? Mm-hmm. And how are my friends going to react to all this stuff? And it's like, it's your freaking day. You should be able to do whatever you want. And your friends, if they're good friends, they should not give you a hard time about it. You know, like sometimes it's someone's birthday and they really love going to see like a marionette performance and you despise marionettes, but you know, you can opt out and say, sorry, that's not my jam. But if you're going to be in it, then don't complain about it. Just go and do the thing and support your friend.
I think you're right, because even if it was, I feel like this is a similar situation that could happen with non-vegan people. You know, it's like I could say, oh, it's my birthday and I'm going to a Chinese restaurant. And so one of your friends could be like, oh, I really don't like Chinese food.
Yeah.
They can choose whether, you know, it's like it's, they can choose whether or not to go or not based on that fact alone. But, you know, I think they can suck it up for one meal. But it does seem like non-vegans maybe make it a bigger deal when it's specifically vegan stuff. I mean, this is also like based on individuals and how big of a deal people would make it.
Yeah, because this email does make certain assumptions about the guests. And obviously, Dana, you know who you're inviting and how they react and how they feel about all this stuff. But there is the assumption that people will have that sort of negative interpretation of it. And I'm sure some people will, and I'm sure some people will just be like, whatever, like, who cares? I think, you know, to go back to my initial point there, that it's like, it's your day, and if anyone gives you crap, unless you're doing something that's, like, unethical or makes people incredibly uncomfortable beyond people's, I guess, perceived uncomfortability, that's my word I'm going to make up, you know, of, like, trying some food they never tried before, it just seems like it's the type of thing that as dictated by the laws of etiquette, that you're just like, this isn't my wedding, I go, and whatever food they serve is the food that they serve. And I think that as vegans, we are thinking about food so much more than non-vegans. I'm thinking that I'm going to make the assumption based off of my time as a non-vegan and my time as a vegan and going to weddings in both. When I was a non-vegan and I went to a wedding, I did not think at all about the food that was being served. I wasn't like, oh, I wonder if there's going to be meat. I wonder if there's going to be pasta or a salad or what's the, you know, it's just like, I know I'm going to get food and I'm going to eat it and it's probably not going to be that great because they're making, you know, dishes for 100 people at once and it's usually not that good. Although the vegan wedding we went to, the food I thought was quite good.
I agree.
And I think that anyone that ate it there probably, I forget exactly what it was, but it was stuff that just, it didn't necessarily scream out, this is vegan. It just was like a good noodle dish or something like that.
Well, I think because I think the caterers were not vegan caterers. They were just doing an all vegan thing, which I feel like the advantage is if they're good, which they were, it's not going to be like, it wasn't. If I recall, it wasn't like, oh, and this is a vegan chicken dish and this is a vegan salmon. You know, it wasn't like replacement stuff. So I feel like some people probably didn't even notice that it was vegan.
Yeah. And I think that you would not expect a non-vegan wedding to have on their invitation, we are going to be serving you non-vegan food. Like the people don't extend that courtesy. Like maybe you can check off, I want the seafood or the chicken or the vegetarian option like that. But generally speaking, they're not going out of their way to label things and say, just so you know, there's not going to be vegan options there. So I guess I feel like there's no obligation for a vegan wedding to like let people know that it's going to be all vegan.
Well, I feel like it's sort of common now if there is the check one thing that there's a vegetarian one.
Yeah. And, you know, I had a friend from high school. I went to her wedding and the invitation did not have something like that. And I sent her an email and I was like, I know this is your big day. If this adds any stress whatsoever to your day, don't worry about it. And I will, you know, make my way and I'll deal. But if it's as simple as you saying to the caterer, hey, we have a vegan that's going to be there, and it's like that easy for you, if you could do that, that would be awesome for me. And that's how I handled it. Because, you know, it's what, like 5 hours that you're going to be at this reception or less, you know, as this is like off topic now, this is like the opposite situation of the vegan navigating the non-vegan wedding. And it's like, you know, you be prepared as a vegan and you have like a protein bar and some nuts or like whatever in the car that you eat before you go in. And it's like, if we have to deal with that, why can't non-vegans... Why do they have to be like warned and coddled and be like, just so you know, there's going to be vegan food here? I think that, Dana, I think you and your partner are under no obligation to preemptively like warn people that it's vegan food. I think that on the menu, if you want to make the vegans feel welcome, you can say vegan options will be available. I see that on like fully vegan restaurants and they just advertise vegan options available, you know, and that is something that brings in the non-vegans and makes it so vegans know that they have options there. Yeah. Because I know we must have talked about this a number of times, but especially early on in the podcast about what's the best way for a restaurant to advertise themselves. Mm-hmm. And you have like the model of obviously the people that like scream vegan. The restaurant name says vegan and there's vegan literature everywhere. And then you have restaurants like Cinnaholic that's all vegan cinnamon buns with icing and all these toppings. And not anywhere do they even advertise as vegan. I don't think they even say plant-based anywhere unless people ask.
Yeah.
You know? And you kind of want it to say at like the bottom of the container this cinnamon bun was vegan or something. So like after they've eaten it and enjoyed it and told their friends they enjoyed it, then they find out. So I kind of get like, I would love it if like, as they're exiting the wedding, you know, and like they leave the church or whatever after the reception hall. And then as they're walking out and everyone's throwing rice, like a banner drops down behind them. Like, by that way, that food was vegan.
Thank you for coming. Your food was vegan. Thank you for coming. Your food was vegan. funniest quick tangent. So I went to, I think the last wedding I went to was one of my like childhood friends. And it was like a not vegan wedding. I think it probably had a vegetarian option listed, but like my friend, I'm very close to my friend and his parents, like childhood friends. And so they like know I'm vegan and they know it's like a big deal for me. And so even though they had specified to the caterer to make this one vegan dish, it came out as like, it clearly had some cheese in it or something like that, that made it not vegan. Mm-hmm. And just picture my friend's dad, just like the stereotypical, very small Italian man, like straight out of a Godfather movie. And he just like came around and he's like, Paul, like, oh, like how's the vegan? Like he specifically asked, he's like, oh, how's the vegan dish? And I think I said, like, I was probably not even going to say anything and just like not eat it and not say anything about it. And I was like, oh, well, actually I think it has cheese in it. And he's just like, no, no, no. And he pulls this like waiter on and he gets this waiter, like puts his arm on the person's shoulder and is like, this is my friend, Paul. Like, you're going to take care of him. Like he's vegan. You're going to go back and like get this. And he's like, we're going to take care of this. Don't worry.
That's amazing.
It was great. But Andy, I think going back to on topic, it seems like in this email, maybe they did want to see if they could, oh, I don't know. Like, did you get the vibe from the email that they maybe wanted to have like a little bit of advocacy in there or a little bit of like, I want people to know that it's vegan and I want people to know that it's good food type thing?
So yeah, that's sort of like another avenue of conversation, which is, I mean, I'm not getting this vibe, but like, should you use your wedding as a means of advocacy? Because it's like the one chance that you have. I don't know. It's the only scenario I can think of where you're like, I have 100 very close friends and family here, and they basically have to eat whatever I'm going to feed them. And if you know that the food is going to be really good, if you've hired a good caterer, and people do that for weddings, right? They taste the cake beforehand. They taste the, you know, as long as you know the food is going to be good and you think it's going to impress people, you could use that as a form of advocacy to just basically be like, look, you had a meal, it was delicious, and you didn't die of protein deficiency. You know, that's like one way to go. And then there's also the way to go that's like, what's going to make the most peaceful day for you? And I think almost in both instances, they both would require you to not advertise everything as vegan beforehand. And then the advocacy route would be some way to let people know that what they ate was vegan somehow. But then I'm worried that that's going to your sort of unethical, you thought you ate meatballs, but they weren't actually meatballs, like feeling. And I want to dig into that, why you think that that's unethical a little bit more. But I think that it really just depends on like, do you feel like you need to use this? Will you feel like you've missed an opportunity if you didn't use this as a form of advocacy? If you're both, you know, really activist minded and you want to use it like this, I say go for it. Again, it's your day. You can do whatever the hell you want with it. But if you're just like, I just want my friends and family to enjoy a good meal, and I don't want to hear a bunch of complaints, I don't feel like I need to warn people that it's vegan food. You know, I think, Paul, your route of saying, do you have food allergies? And as long as the food allergies are covered, then you're covered. Then you're being considerate of every single guest that's there. You're making sure they have stuff that can feed them and not kill them or cause them great discomfort. And I think that's sort of the end of your responsibility. And you're like almost not even responsible. It's not even a responsibility to make sure that everyone has something that fits their allergies, I would argue. But I think as like a good and decent human being, it's something you should do.
Yes. No, I do agree with that. I think, you know, I think the one thing, maybe it's not even worth delving into because it's going to be so specific for every individual person and like their relationship to their friends and family that are coming. But there's this, I feel like maybe one small vibe I got from this email was also like, I don't want this thing to add some sort of stress to a day that is already immensely stressful to prepare for, because, you know, we are devoting all of this attention to focusing on just this one element of a wedding. And this is in the midst of all this other stuff. And like my brother recently got married, and it's like, I know how stressful weddings can be. And not that you wouldn't devote a good amount of time to the food, because that is like an integral part of it. So a lot of time is devoted to what the food is going to be, but it's like, it's almost, I'm sure for a lot of people in this similar situation, a lot of people are probably like, okay, I know all these other elements are going to be so stressful. Like, what's going to be the path of least resistance for me right here? The path of least resistance, but then also like, okay, I don't want to compromise my morals and give everyone what they want, because then that would be non-vegan stuff. So I don't want to do that, but it's like, how can I do this so that it's just like, how can I just make this fly under the radar and it not be a big deal and people not come up to me and complain to me on my wedding day and those sorts of things?
Well, rereading the email, Dana says, I do want people to know that vegan food can be normal and easy and delicious, but I don't want to deal with the drama and complaining and weird judgy comments on my wedding day. Trying to balance out those two things, I feel like, this is just for me personally, I think I would put more weight on not dealing with judgy comments, you know, and that like not advertising it and not drawing attention to it. If that's just the vibe I'm getting from the email, is that there's more like, yeah, it would be good if people understood that vegan food can be good, but also I'd rather just have like a nice wedding day, which is totally understandable because there's a million stress points on your average, you know, large budget wedding.
So then, I mean, if that's the case, I feel like the route to probably go is what we were saying. Don't like put a little thing that says, if you have food allergies, let me know. Don't advertise what the food's going to be. When the food comes out, it comes out. I mean, like our friends had it, it was like a family style, which I think lends itself to not having to tell people beforehand what they're going to get. So there's no like choices or anything like that. You know, it's like family style is nice because in this case, because there's going to be a handful of different dishes. So if people like, you know, if they genuinely don't like one of them, there's going to be other things versus, okay, I've checked off this thing and I've committed myself to this one dish, which might just be a good thing about family style wedding meals in general and not just with this, but I guess it makes it so that you're not committed to one thing that you don't know if it's going to be good or not. But yeah, I feel like that's probably the path of least resistance, I would say.
Yeah.
And I would say a completely acceptable and probably wise thing to do if you're trying to eliminate that stress.
So what do you think if someone did decide to take the more activist-y type route, what do you think the best way would be? Because I mean, just from my personal experience, I understand Dana's like apprehension. Because I've experienced it myself where like someone knows something I'm feeding them is vegan and they're like, it's pretty good, you know, for being vegan or whatever. And then, or even you feed someone something and they're like, oh, it's good. And you're like, cool, awesome. Yeah, it's vegan. They're like, well, it wasn't that good. Like I've straight up experienced that multiple times in my life. So I understand the apprehension there. How do you think someone, if they did decide that they want to use this wedding as sort of an activist platform via getting people to eat delicious food and then them at some point finding out that it's vegan, what point do you think people should know it's vegan and how does that message get delivered to people?
Well, I think the easiest way to avoid that, and this is certainly something that not everyone probably would want to do. I certainly, Andy, you know, I love my vegan meats, but I feel like the best way to avoid those direct comparisons is don't serve dishes that are the vegan versions of other things.
Yeah.
You know, like serve dishes that are, I hate to keep bringing up our friend's wedding because literally no one else that's listening to this podcast was there. And I cannot remember the exact dishes that we have.
And our friends that are getting married probably aren't even listening to this episode.
but their dishes, if I recall, were not like vegan replacement dishes. They were like their own thing.
Was there one thing with tofu in it?
There might have been, but this is a chicken dish or something like that with tofu. I feel like it was a tofu dish. And I feel like, of course, you know, Andy, I love my vegan meats. At this point, I don't know if our hamburgers wedding food, but with like the Impossible Burger and the Beyond Burger, I feel like you can get some pretty realistic tasting stuff like that. But like,
well, you can use the impossible to make meatballs.
That's true.
I've had that.
So this is why I'm, but this is why I'm saying, if you wanted to definitely avoid people making comparisons, if they have this dish that they've never had before, they can't say like, oh, well, the real version of this dish is better. Yeah. They might still say, oh, well, it makes sense. I don't like this because it's vegan. They could still say that, but they probably have less of a direct comparison to something that, I don't know. I don't know. That's just what I think.
I think I agree with that. Like, I would not trot out like a Gardein chicken breast type thing. Like, that's not what I would do. Although, Paul, I'm sure I'm picturing your wedding and it just being like mountains of Gardein crispy tenders everywhere.
That's it. That's the entire
the only food. No condiments at all. The only liquid available is the water from containers of tofu. As far as like a food that I feel like could be done really well and does include vegan replacements, a dish like a lasagna that has like a tofu or cashew ricotta, and maybe even some sort of smart ground type thing, like a little bit of that in there. Dishes like that I have made that have just fooled people. I don't know if that's ethical, Paul, but it's really won people over that were skeptical of the vegan thing because you have the vegan stuff, but it's not necessarily carrying the dish. You also have, you know, pasta and sauce and garlic and all these flavorings in there, seasonings in there. Like things like that are also kind of standard wedding fare. And I don't know. It's like, it's this weird burden on wedding food because most wedding food I've had has been bad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even as a non-vegan, but as a vegan, you know, you're just getting like grilled vegetables over rice often, or like pasta with red sauce or something.
Yeah. I think that lasagna idea is a good idea because with those beef crumbles, which I would love, it's like, it's not the thing that people are, it's not like the main component of the dish. And so people aren't going to be as like honed in on this thing. Like they'll eat it and they'll be like, oh, this is good, without necessarily even realizing that they're eating this like Beyond crumble or whatever.
Yeah.
Now I want lasagna, Andy.
I'm so full of barbecue tofu right now. Okay, Paul, I feel like we keep surfing around it. So do you think it's unethical? It seems like you think it's unethical to be like, here is chicken, and you give them a Gardein crispy tender and you don't tell them what it is beforehand. If it does not conflict with any of their food allergies, what's unethical about that?
I don't know. Tricking. What is this? Punked? You know? I just feel like
it's not like it's full of like, I don't know, raw sewage or something like that.
You think of Fear Factor.
Where's Joe Rogan at? I mean, I don't know. It's not like you're giving them a bad experience that's going to make them look bad when they've been shown, you know, reacting weirdly on camera.
No, like you said, assuming that there's no other dietary stuff that it conflicts with, it is. There's no consequence. You are right. There is no poor consequence of it. I don't know why. It still just seems weird to me to like lie to someone. Even if it's not directly lying, it's like you're deceiving them purposefully, knowing that they don't. You say anything, Andy. Andy keeps trying to get a word in.
This is what happens when we record it in person, and you can see me beginning to form my objection.
what were you going to say?
I guess I get your point about it being willful deception, but also if I call it chicken, like when I'm just like, I'm making Beyond chicken strips, whatever, I'm just like, I'm making chicken and I made like a chicken tikka masala, or, you know, like that's what I call it. That's what it is. It's meat made from plants.
Yes. But if you know that the other person does not know what that is, you can't like claim like, oh, well, this is what I call it. Like, you could just call something anything and then be like, well, this is what I call it. You could say like, oh, we're having pizza tonight, and you come out with something completely different and you're like, well, this is what I call pizza.
But if it looks and almost identical to and tastes almost identical to pizza, what's unethical about that? If it's, I mean, you know, if it's like an amazing cauliflower crust and cashew cheese or whatever, and people, it like all looks like it, as long as they don't bite into it and they're like, if this is actually dessert or something like that, which would, I guess, be an upgrade. But, you know, like, if you're giving them something that's pretty much like what they were expecting, I don't see what's unethical about it.
It's just lying to them. It's lying. I feel like lying is unethical.
Is it not lying to feed someone
in front of a jury?
Is it not lying to feed someone chicken and not, or to feed someone a hamburger and not say this is the dismembered corpse of a cow? Is that not lying? If you've made up this word to obfuscate what it is you're actually feeding someone, this isn't pork, this isn't bacon, this is the flesh of a pig, and is that not lying but in this, some way?
This is a different issue because people, like the majority of people that are, that's using a euphemism. You know, it's like, that's, people know what it is.
Is it not a euphemism to call like vegan chicken, chicken?
But the difference is, it's like, it's using a euphemism that only you know what it means, and you know that it means something different to another person.
I wonder if that would uphold in a court of law. Like, it's just a personal euphemism that I use. I totally see your point, but I guess I'm struggling to feel why it's unethical.
I think, look, or, Your Honor.
Can I request a sidebar with the counsel? I do declare.
This has gotten,
I mean,
off the rails.
I guess, I mean, again, this, not again, but for the first time in this episode, it reminds me that we need to do that episode that's about sort of the difference between like persuasion and manipulation, and when, at what point is activism unethical when you're trying to convince someone of something, and depending on the tactics you use and stuff like that. But it just feels like it's for the greater good, and it's such a harmless deception that it's hard for me to feel like bad about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, Andy, I guess, you know, like you see on TV commercials for a product or even like a soda or something like that, and it's like a person tastes two things, and it's like, yes, I guess they don't know exactly. They don't, in that moment, they don't know what they're tasting. So it's like, that's kind of the same thing. And then they're very surprised when it's like, oh, it's actually this one. Oh, but, and I guess I don't have a problem with that. But I don't know. It just seems like, As a blanket statement, it's like I would like to avoid lying to people if at all possible.
I mean, it's hard, Your Honor, it's hard to argue with that, but I feel it does not suit the case that I'm trying to make here.
Like, I also get that there is little consequence to it, and there is potential benefit to it, which is if they eat this thing.
Saved lives, Paul.
No.
Saved lives.
No. I'm not saying, because if we're talking about the wedding instance, they're not eating non-vegan stuff no matter what. It's just whether or not it's what you're calling it that we're arguing about. Yeah. No, because that is something different. Do not tie me into that, Mr. Tavar.
I don't know what I'm tying you into.
Like I'm not saying either you'd have to deceive them or you have to give them actual chicken flesh. That's not, those aren't the options I'm deciding between. I'm deciding between deceiving them and purposely saying it's something when you know that they're going to think it's something else versus just not saying anything at all and giving them the dish.
Okay.
Because I get that the potential benefit. Well, wait, what even is the potential benefit of doing that route and then finding out it's vegan afterwards versus just not telling them at all what it is and then finding out that it's vegan afterwards?
I guess the benefit is that, as we know, unfortunately, and I think it's changing rapidly these days, but it's still very much, there is the baggage of negative expectations when one is trying vegan food. And so if someone goes in expecting to dislike the taste experience they're about to have, it seems unlikely that something will be so good if they've already said out loud that they're not going to like this. Maybe if they've thought it to themselves, it's different. But if they've sort of already put their position on record, you know, if it pleases the court, you can go back and check the record. Also, fun fact, one of our friends that was getting married at the vegan wedding is going to become a court reporter.
I was going to say, is that a stenographer?
Stenographer, yeah. I'm fascinated with that little keyboard, Paul. It's wild. We'll talk about that off air. I have thoughts. But anyway, we've got going off the rails again, Paul. We're way off the rails this whole episode, but if someone is like actively proclaiming that they're not going to like a thing, then if they eat it and then they actively say out loud, that's actually pretty good. Some people are willing to do that, but I think a lot of people feel like they have to uphold their reputation or not feel like a hypocrite or whatever it might be. Or maybe it's just shattering their worldview and their illusion. That's the whole like backfire effect thing to maybe some like smaller degree there. And so if they just have it and then they say that was good and you're like, cool, oh, FYI, it was vegan, then it's like they already have their positive reaction on record and they're not like going back against anything. Because like rarely if you go to a wedding and they hand you a slice of lasagna, you're not like, this is going to be shit. And then you eat it and you're like, yep, it was. You know, like people don't proclaim how they feel about food unless they find out that it's vegan or maybe gluten-free, which I'm guilty of.
Yeah, but wait, so then you seem to be agreeing with, you seem to be also going towards the thing that I would go towards, which is just not tell them at all.
Yes, but then I guess the minutia that we're arguing over is
whether to tell them like you're about to eat chicken.
Yes, I guess that.
Hey, brother, you're gonna eat some chicken.
I want to see you and that chicken in the cage at the Pontiac Silverdome. yeah, I mean, and who does? I guess servers do that. They're like, and here is your chicken.
Well,
but what if you had like a fried like Gardein like chicken breast on like some mashed potatoes with some gravy and they just set it down, right? You think that's ethical, but if they set it down and said, here's your chicken, then that's what makes it unethical.
Well, no, because I think I was more so thinking of when you send out the RSVP cards and they have to check off something and that just says chicken on it.
Check off's RSVP card.
if we talk about RSVP cards in the beginning of the episode, it's going to come up in the end of the episode. Boom!
Great. Yeah. Okay, so you're saying the way that they're warned that being informed that something is chicken is on the RSVP card.
Yes.
That they're checking off. What if it's chicken in quotation marks?
God, I hate quotation marks.
Apostrophe N.
Yeah, I would be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Not the quote, the quotation. I hate like unnecessary quotation marks. All right. Have we run this well dry?
I feel like we have. You know, I had put in this note about something that we didn't cover when it first happened, but this news story about this bride that uninvited any non-vegan guests because they didn't want murderers at their wedding. But I feel like this is way too long for a mini episode. And maybe we'll talk about that. Let us know if he wants to talk about that.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a short conversation anyways. I'm just like, hey, don't do this.
I mean, if we're treating the abuse of animals seriously, as we would any other, you know, aggression or ism or something like that, you would be okay with saying, like, I don't want anyone that robs old ladies at my wedding, so you're not welcome to come.
Well, I guess I haven't read this news story in a minute, but did this person invite all the people, have them say whether or not they ate meat, and then said, you are uninvited?
Do you think the way that they found out was through the RSVP card where they got to choose their option? If they didn't check vegan, then they got uninvited?
To me, I'm just like, why even invite them in the first place? Unless this is just inflammatory, this news article using the word uninvited, and maybe it's just they were never invited.
This is true,
but I don't know. Anyways, we can talk about that another time, I think.
Let us know if you want us to talk about that. It probably would be a short discussion.
So
I agree with you, Paul, it's probably not a good thing to do.
We can do vegan weddings part two in our next mini episode and just talk about this one.
Yep.
So let us know if you have any comments or questions or concerns about what the things that we said. This was nice. We had a little bit of disagreement, Andy, which is always fun.
Paul, I love recording in person with you so
much. Yeah, it's definitely a lot better. send those in to thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Andy, do you want to tell the people what you got coming up, which we neglected to do? Oh, that was a bonus episode. That's why we didn't tell the people. Andy, tell me what you got coming up.
Well, the next event, Paul, it's going to be both of us together. We're doing a live podcast at the Atlantic City Vegan Food Festival, perhaps from inside of a wrestling ring.
I can pray, Andy.
pray to your Hulkamaniac god that if that happens, I feel like we should try and record a like a bonus episode where we're each just doing wrestler impressions. Yeah. both of Hulk.
Or we can like cut a promo like wrestlers do for something like inside of the ring.
So that's July 13th in Atlantic City, New Jersey. July 20th, I'll be at Compassion Fest in Hamden, Connecticut. July 25th through the 27th, I'll be at the Animal Rights Conference in Washington, D.C. And August 17th and 18th, Triangle Veg Fest. On the 18th, we are doing our live podcast there as well. So,
where can I find those dates, deets, and links in?
Oh, Paul, you can find out all the information for those events at CompassionCo.com. Which is my clothing line. And any of those events I just mentioned, come find the Compassion Go table. I'll be behind it. And you can say, what's up, Beardo? And I'll hook you up with a sticker. And it'll be a good time.
Yeah. And I'll be behind them sometimes as well.
That's right. Several of these. Yeah. Paul, you know what they could do? The options could be on the RSVPs. It could be like chicken in quotation marks, seafood, vegan, or the following seven words.
We are the Bearded Vegans signing off. Welcome to the show. Did you want to do that again?
And also, Paul, and then there will be the classic, well, these meatballs were good, but they don't exactly taste. Damn it. My next live event, July 13th, Atlantic City Vegan Food Festival.
I'll say that one again. Stumble through those words.